Remaker's Mark, Episode 46, Predator. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in part two of our discussion of Predator, our 46th episode. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing? And what trap would you build if you were fighting a Predator?
I am doing very well. Thank you. And I am doing, I would build a Schrodinger's cat type of trap.
Not actually a trap. Please elaborate.
Go on.
Nope.
Where the predator is both in and not in the trap?
The predator cannot know whether he is in or is not. And it's not, you know, I'm not going to tell you my plan because I'm not going to tell you my plan now because then you'll be able to escape from it. You're luring me into your own trap. I see this.
Are you worried about, like, in-podcast leakers?
I'm not going to fall for this. I've said too much.
I think Andy thinks we're predators.
He's got me fooled. Jeremy Nilsson, how are you, and what trap would you build if you were fighting a predator?
I am outstanding, and I would like to believe that I would build a mouse trap-esque Rube Goldberg-type device that would ultimately capture the predator alive. But really, when I come down to it and I think about who I am as a person, I would probably just get like a mud pit and put some leaves over the top of it.
So he just kind of gets stuck for a little bit and the shoe would come off?
Right.
He would just be frustrated.
Just be like, oh, my one sock is so squishy.
And then the predator would be like, I don't need this guy. I don't need that skull.
You would just need to bring the band OK Go with you, and then you would be fine for your first
question. Exactly. Or the Scooby, yep, and the Scooby Gang.
Yeah, I'll have OK Go do the soundtrack. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Oh. Totally.
And they're also
now
the
you have my attention.
That's how we should have done the. We should have just cast the mercenary team with the members of OK Go.
That could work.
We need to do this all over again.
Rewind.
What movie is this again?
Exactly.
Expendables 5.
Lee, Hank Got Time to Bleed. How are you doing tonight? And what trap would you build if you were fighting a predator?
I'm pretty good, and I would build a tourist trap.
Ooh. So
it would be an overhyped location surrounding an overhyped thing that everybody wants to go see, and it would be there would be little vendors everywhere selling worthless junk.
Expendables nice. 5 in Branson.
You'd beat the predator by getting predator would be coming to kill you, and then he'd end up buying like a miniature Statue of Liberty. Like, oh, yep. I paid $20 for this.
And he would shoot himself just from because he was sick of standing in line.
That's a really good trap. I like that. Nice, nice work. Mark Josting, how are you, and what would your trap be for fighting a predator?
I'm great, thanks. And I would construct a financial trap. It'd be a subprime mortgage loan.
Because
I mean, the whole time he's just hanging out in, you know, trees. He's got no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Short 2.
I like it. My name is Kyle. I will be your host once again this fine evening. And I would build, if movies have taught me anything, which they haven't, is that quicksand is nigh escapable. So I would just have quicksand everywhere except for where I am. Don't ask me how I would get out of it. I guess I would probably like ride the predator after having died in quicksand. I would pull him out and then just sort of like ride him across the quicksand moat. I'm not sure.
You'd turn him into a raft?
Yes, exactly. Yes, so quicksand is my trap.
Also,
because
Ride the Predator is my favorite new dance craze.
And to make sure the predator falls into the quicksand trap, you put leaves over the top.
That's right. And a little bit of peanut butter.
And then when he's in the quicksand, you'll never know if he's actually alive or not. Schrodinger's predator. Boom.
Yes.
That is how that works.
Sure. You keep at that, Andy. Just keep trying. All right. Very good. Lee, sorry, Jared, one more question. Sometimes when you answer how you're doing, I think you're saying fantastic.
Yes.
But it sounds like you're saying fantastic.
I also
are
got
you
that.
Unpurposely, I thought it was are you a purposely pun. Saying fantastic? Or do you say fantastic in a way that sounds like fantastic?
I think I say fantastic wrong.
Wait, what did you just say? Did you say fantastic?
You've always said it with a V. I don't know why.
That's how I say it. I know how to spell it. You spell it with an F.
kind of like
okay.
So make like a Memphis and hand. Frank or vehicle.
But you just can't say it. So you're saying fantastic.
Apparently, I'm saying it wrong. I'm saying fantastic wrong.
Hey, you did good there.
You really had to work on that, didn't you?
Okay.
Good job.
I mean, this wasn't the great mystery of 2019 or anything, but I was just really curious because I've noticed that a couple times.
Jerry, you're a little loud. Can you turn on your volume, please?
All right. I'm going to come up with a different adjective.
You know who is great in Predator? Jesse Ventura. Oh, I can barely get that out. Okay, we're done here. All right.
Fantastic. Oh, you're right. Excellent. You're right, God damn it!
I think we just found the title of the episode.
Oh my God. All right, let's move along here. Oh boy, I'm like both glad and ashamed that I asked that, but mostly glad. That was great. Mark, do you have a Remaker's Mark recommends pick?
Do I ever? Segment?
Great.
I feel like in the towering shadow of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, DC Comics needs some love. Not that DC Cinematic Universe has done anything particularly special. I have a fondness for Justice League, but whatever. However, Warner Brothers has, for like 25 years, and continues to make extraordinary animated stuff for DC. And
yes,
in the New 52 era, the last 5-6 years, the new Justice League stuff, the new Batman stuff, has been so good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
Gotham by Gaslight is a really good one.
Yeah, I've watched more of the Justice League stuff, but I don't know, they're crushing it. They always have, and they still are. It's great. If you can find some animated DC Comics based films, just give them a watch. They're totally worth it. Really, really good.
Right on. One of my coworkers at Apple is a huge Batman fan. Like his car, instead of like a hood ornament, has a bat sign, and his license plate, I think, is BATMBL. I want to say, like, he's like hardcore bat fan. And he got like a many, many, many disc package of the DC animated films for Christmas. He was really, really excited about that. So
yeah. Would be too.
All right. So we're going to move on to our picks for our major and minor characters. And which of those were the big winners here? So we had 3 major characters and 5 minor characters. And we'll note the winner for each of those. For the major characters, in the role of Anna, originally played by Elpidia Carrillo, the winner for that was Jer with Danai Gurira. Good job, Jer. Good pick. Yay. Very well done.
Yeah.
The role of Al Dillon, whose name is Al, originally played by Carl Weathers. The big winner for that was Lee's Michael Fassbender pick. Very interesting. I like that. Good job. Well done, Lee. Good work. And then finally, in the role of Alan, not Al, but Alan, Dutch Schaefer, originally played by Senior Schwarzenegger, we went with Jer's choice of Gwendolyn Christie, which is just fantastic. I can't believe how good a pick that is. Just really, really great.
Yay.
Good job. And then finally, of the minor characters, of the 5, the winner was my pick for Mahershala Ali in the role of Mac. So I can't argue with her. Yay, thank you. All right. Now, before we move into our discussion of Predator, we got a little bit of feedback from the social media side of the world. We put out calls to say who could potentially be recast in this movie. And we got a lot of good feedback. So we're just going to go a little bit at a time. So, Mark, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Former co-worker and IT manager extraordinaire Paul Weir says, Expendables alum Terry Crews as Dutch, The Rock as Jesse Ventura, and Carrot Top as the first to die. We're going to redo the first episode now.
Carrot Top is ripped enough that I would buy it.
I know, kid. Yeah, he's got the chops for it.
Yep, agreed.
Kyle.
I put it out there, and the Totes Recall podcast, which is a really great podcast, very similar to ours here, at Totes Recall Pod, said Channing Tatum in all roles, which I think from a technological perspective, I would be intrigued about how they would make that work. But I dig that. I think Channing would be a good fit. Okay. Maybe not for all, but mostly Anna. Andy, on to you.
My neighbor and friend Steve McFarland for Arnold offered Nick Offerman, which I think is fantastic. For Carl Weathers, he suggested Donald Glover. For Ventura, he wanted John Cena.
Okay.
A good friend of ours, Davina Hansen, wanted Kevin Hart in any character. Thanks for playing, D. My high school classmate, Matt Barsness. Hey, Matt, thanks for listening. Suggested Christopher Hivje in one of the roles.
Who is that, Andy?
Christopher Hivje is probably known for playing Tormund Giantsbane on the Game of Thrones series.
Ooh, I see some romance brewing.
And then my friend and former coworker, Chad Bopri, simply posted a picture of the mother from the Goldbergs dressed up in a Predator costume without any comment. So there you are.
Boom. Jer, on to you. Who are your, or what feedback did you get?
Yeah, I threw it out to Facebook and I got a handful of responses. Old friend Jeremy Dorsing said, wouldn't you just have to go with The Rock for the Arnold character? Which, yeah, that's very on the nose. Martin Kretzman, frequent contributor, said he'd recast it as a campy 80s sci-fi comedy. Bill Murray as Dutch, Mos Def as the Apollo Creed, which is what he said. Jesse Ventura as Jesse Ventura. Jack Black as Billy, and Andy Serkis motion capturing the Predator. Nice.
One of those I'm behind. I won't say which one.
Jonathan, John Lee, old friend, said Tom Jane or Guy Pearce, which is very, very interesting. Tate Pagel, old camp buddy, hit it right on the head and said Gwendolyn Christie is Dutch. And
there you go.
I had my pick before I saw that. And
sure you did.
Good friend Kyle Hoff went a little different direction and said Harvey Weinstein is the Predator.
Ooh. On the nose, Kyle.
Come on,
the Hoff. Role of his lifetime. That's... Wow.
And then finally, Luke Sharman, who I run Nerd Night with up in Duluth, said Tom Hardy for Dutch, Idris Elba for, Idris Elba, Dave Bautista, Terry Crews, and Jason Momoa as the rounding out the cast, and Charlize Theron as the Predator.
Whoa.
All of that's delightful. I love all.
Luke is a good dude. I really like him. I like his picks. That's right on.
Jared, where'd you get that feedback?
That is from Facebook.
I'm sorry, what?
Facebook.
That's better.
Very good. Just a reminder, you can find us at Remakers Mark on both Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, follow us, subscribe, all that fun stuff, whatever you do on those social media things. Finally, before we talk about Predator, Andy, you are our next pick.
Yay!
Our next pick. So what is the next movie that we are going to be discussing?
I have been batting around a few in my head for, months, really, since I knew that Mark was picking this movie and it was going to be my turn afterwards. I've waited a long time for this. But the one I settled on is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, ooh, dang.
Excellent.
Interesting.
1975, Milos Forman, Jack Nicholson, and Nurse Ratchet.
That's got a lot of great characters in it.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I've seen it. It's been a long time since I've seen it. And I think looking at it from a perspective, this movie is 44 years old now. And just what we know of mental health now versus what was known then. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. I'm looking forward to it.
I like that. That's really, really good.
Thank you.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's a fantastic movie.
It's really good.
Wow.
It's one of those 70s movies that I think everybody needs to see.
Nurse Ratched has been called one of the best movie villains of all time.
Yep.
Mm.
Well, and it's one of those movies that has been so parodied and copied that watching the original will be really interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to understand at least one, probably two Simpsons references there after having seen
it.
And an Always Sunny reference.
Yep. There's an episode that the B story, I think, parodies that movie, which Danny DeVito was actually in that movie. So
that's right. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I am excited about that. Good pick, Andy. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's a good one. We'll have a link to that in IMDb and definitely watch that along with us and give us feedback about what you think and about the movie and about our picks eventually. So should be exciting. All right. So finally, we are on to our plot, tech, and filmmaking discussion of Predator. This movie has a lot going for it in many, many ways for both good or bad. And I think we are going to see every part of those equally represented tonight. First and foremost, we want to talk a little bit about kind of the vibe of the movie. And there's two main pieces of that. The first of those that we wanted to talk about is kind of the sci-fi horror aspect of it and what we liked from the original or didn't like, and then what we would like it to be in our remake as well. Jer, it sounds like you kind of started that one up. Do you want to start the discussion?
Sure. Although the point I was making, I guess, is a little bit different, but I can speak to this too. The original Predator kind of was a product of its time, as all things are. It's very, very 1980s, both in its tropes and its, you know, cliches, but also in just what it was trying to be, what it was trying to deliver. And I'd want to get away from all of that. I would want this to be much more thoughtful, more brainy, maybe. I want it closer to Platoon than Rambo. I want it closer to Alien than Total Recall. Simplify the action. Get it really, really down to very close, terse pieces of combat, as opposed to these bombastic, over-the-top set pieces. And maybe there's a little bit of that because it's an action movie, but I would want this to be a much more personal story than this big muscle-bound project from the 1980s.
I was thinking something along the lines of like Zero Dark Thirty or something. Yeah. Where it feels like it's, you know, with the handheld camera stuff, it almost feels more like a documentary.
I think that'd be awesome.
And it's a lot more serious.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I think you hit the nail on the head for me, Lee, that this movie lacked a seriousness, a gravitas to it. It was, we mentioned in the first episode that we never really felt like Arnold was in danger of dying, you know, that to have a feel more of a Zero Dark Thirty or, you know, Hurt Locker comes to mind also, or something like that, where you're never really sure, you know, there's always that edge of tension of what could happen. And I think that would play very well.
Have you guys seen Attack the Block? Anybody? With
nope.
John Boyega? I would definitely recommend seeing that. That's an alien movie that's set in kind of urban England or urban London. And it doesn't make any sense in the best way. And it's very much like that. Like, you don't see the aliens a lot, but everything is just about like what's around the corner and the fear of it. Like, I think that would be a good kind of tentpole. Obviously, it, you know, not in the jungle per se, but just that feel of it, of worrying more about what you don't see than what you do see. I think that could be cool.
And as far as the sci-fi element, like, I mean, this is a movie about an alien, and I would love it to feel more like original Alien, where it's, you don't, and they kind of did a little bit of this in the original, where you don't really see what the heck this thing is, and they reveal it real slowly as the mm-hmm. movie goes on, but even with that, it never felt like an alien movie, and they did kind of a ham-fisted job of explaining, like, oh, he's here because he's this, you know, super hunter, and he's trying to find, you know, he's just trying to, you know, wander around the universe looking for prey. Like, they sort of said that, but they didn't even really say that. We kind of get that here in hindsight 20 years later, like, okay, we know what the Predator does because we've seen 7 movies with him. But
did anybody else forget that the movie actually starts with a spaceship?
Yeah, which was so dumb.
And yeah, I never actually knew that until watching it recently.
Yeah, I feel like nobody remembers that it starts out absolutely as a space movie, and then it's just muscle guys.
Yeah,
it's like Predator Spring Break. He's like, where are you going for spring break? Earth, I guess.
And the studio actually made them add that on. That was not originally part of the script, but the studio or somebody made them add that to,
like,
to make
we gotta
it
give
make more
some
sense
kind of explanation,
and
guys,
it actually
come on.
Makes less.
Oh, geez.
And I'm guessing they added the every 27 years thing too, probably, like explaining why they came about.
Right. Yeah. It's just so, I don't know. It's just so ham-fisted. And I'd love it to be more tense, more alien, more suspenseful, more what the heck is going on.
Can I jump in here real quick, Jer? And Dels, you mentioned how little we see of the Predator for the first, you know, half of the movie or something like that. And we talked about when we did Alien long ago, how little we see of the alien, and it's what you don't see that's the most frightening.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, I think that was a good job when you kind of saw, you know, the invisible alien, saw the kind of the modeled sort of force field or whatever, where the alien was. But then when we actually saw the alien, while the head and the mask and everything looked pretty cool, the rest of it was just like a big muscly dude in a suit, where the alien from Alien looked incredibly alien, mm-hmm. and not like, oh, a human in a costume, even though that's really what it was. There was enough of a difference of the the form of the creature that it seemed very scary. Well, this one, if you kind of just looked at it from the shoulders down, you're like, well, he looked, you know, big, tough, muscly guy in a weird, you know, mesh suit. But there you are.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I feel like, okay, so I'm going to go on the record and just say that here's a line that I wrote in my notes. As I watch this, I honestly don't know if it could be done better. I propose a shot-for-shot remake. And then I noted two exceptions. So I'm all in on the style of this movie. Like, I am 100% invested in how effing badass this movie is. And there, we talk about the kind of next about the Macho Man vibes and, like, how this could fly and, like, could it? I don't care if it could. I just want it to. So those are two wholly separate things. Like, I know that it probably shouldn't fly and it wouldn't fly. I would just want, like, a slightly nicer looking version of this same movie today. You know what I mean? Like, take some of those things that we learned and just, like, ramp it up a little bit. But what I do also want to see your movie, Jer. So I feel like there should be, like, a Predator off where there's, like, two Predators and then they just launch at the same time and then just, like, let the audience figure it out.
So there's a big, beefy, muscly Schwarzenegger type, just muscle head Predator. And then there's a thoughtful, more special ops Predator.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, that could even be just like the Michael Bay Predator and the Catherine Bigelow Predator, right? I mean, like, just, I mean, that, seriously, I mean, like, it's, I mean, the references that you guys gave, like Zero Dark 30, Hurt Locker, like, that's Catherine Bigelow, you know, both of those are hers. So, I mean, like, just thinking about that, I mean, it can lend itself to both. And there's no reason for there to be another one exactly like this, but I don't care. I just love this original one so much that I would love to see someone take it from, like, a almost like a dare. Like, someone to be like, I dare you to make a shot-for-shot remake of Predator with the biggest, beefiest dudes possible. And let that person be like, you know what? I got this. Like, I'll take that dare and then just do it because you can. I'm sure it would probably end up being terrible and I would regret ever having suggested it. But you know what? I'm willing to say that. So I would love for there to be both. That's my proposal.
I think that's actually similar to how the original Predator was made and produced. It's kind of like,
yeah, that's,
it's just a
true
crazy idea. I read a story that's probably apocryphal, but I would love it if it was true, that there was a joke between the writers that Rocky had fought, boxed all the opponents that he could. His next logical step would be to go into space. That's Carl Weathers.
Rocky.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah, I believe that. That goes into my boardroom fantasy of being in the boardroom when they pitch all these movies. But yeah, that's another podcast altogether. Yeah, I believe it. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So we talked a little bit already about the Macho Man vibes, but let's dive into that. Let's go head first into muscles, because do you guys think that could, like, that degree of, like, macho-ness could fly today?
The short answer is no, and the slightly longer answer is no, and it shouldn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's just so much of the attitude of this movie that is, as they say in these days, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
From the terrible Shane Black jokes, you know, just these horrible off-color jokes, to the woman being a complete paper character, to just every character is nothing more than a big pile of muscles that shoots guns. Like there is nothing there's nothing tender about any of this or any of these characters, or there's no heart or soul to it or them.
I will wholly rebut that with the moment where Mac, after Blaine dies, like the moment that he has over his body. Like I'm not like a military guy. Like I'm not against it. I mean, I know it's a real thing, but I don't have that. Like, I don't have that in my life. I mean, my dad was in the Air Force, but he never served overseas or anything. So I don't have that as like a big part of my family life. But, I would say that this movie does one of the better jobs that I've seen of kind of, showing the camaraderie of a group of people who have been through everything together. And I think there is some tenderness in how he views his friend and how that friend can be, you know, like when you're in the thick of everything together. I thought they did a really good job of that. Admittedly, that was, you know, a minority in that, but I was very surprised at how much that was felt amongst everything. So that would be my kind of rebuttal to that. I don't think you're wrong, but I was just pleasantly surprised at how that felt when I watched it again.
No, and that's fair. And I think that this movie could be made in the way that you're talking about if they did a couple of things just slightly differently. And I think that is one of them. If they showed us and got us on board with this group of people and who they are and how and what they mean to each other. And the other thing that I think that they can improve on and change is I want proof in the movie more so than them blowing up that village of just how hard ass these guys are. Like, I want the Predator becomes that much more menacing when you realize that he is killing these super soldiers, where as opposed to in the original movie, it felt like they were just sort of dumbling around in the jungle or whatever, and then shooting some stuff. And it's like, okay, they're just dudes in the jungle shooting stuff. But if it did a better job of like, these are like highly trained, best of the best, like nothing gets past these guys, and the predator's still killing them.
We've referenced Zero Dark Thirty a few times already, but I'll reference it again because the first time we meet is it a SEAL team that goes in to actually complete the raid?
Yeah.
When we meet them, they're just hanging out in their camp. But what I appreciated about that depiction of them is they're not like out there all doing push-ups and flexing and, you know, whipping out their ding-dongs and comparing sizes, which is essentially what they do in Predator. It's like a high school locker room in Predator where it gives it that kind of, you know, buffoonish taste to it, where in a movie like Zero Dark Thirty, it's all about these guys are just competent and they're very good at what they do and they don't need to be flashy about it. And that's, I think if that depiction came around here, I think you'd get what you're looking for when you realize these guys really are the cream of the crop, and yet they're still being picked off one by one, and then those stakes are raised that much higher. And the way that it was to me, and granted it's very much a product of its era, but these guys are just, you know, all they're trying to do is razz each other and make dirty jokes to each other and things like that. They don't even really seem that good of soldiers, really.
Yeah, it's like they felt, as characters, they felt above what they were doing. Like, oh, we're in the jungle saving these idiot soldiers that got captured. And so they, you know, go through their mission just like they were, you know, going through some drill or whatever. And then all of a sudden they start getting killed and they don't know how to handle it. They don't know what, it's like no training kicks in. All of a sudden they're up against something that they haven't fought before and they need to actually access these skills and this training, and they just don't. They just shoot at trees a lot.
I will point out that the having kind of the creme de la creme in the jungle fighting a predator was pretty much done in the movie Predators in 2010, but that was like they kidnapped the creme de la creme and they were all these different like assassins and like a Russian mob person and a Yakuza and a doctor. Like they have all these people that are kind of like the you know, top of their field, a death row inmate. And then basically it's them trying to survive. So it's much more like sporting, if you will, for the Predator itself. So I think it was meant to be kind of more that spring break thing that I spoke of the Predator just having like a fun little playtime with the worst of the worst. And Mahershala Ali is in it. What do you know? Who'd have thunk? So yeah, that I admittedly that wasn't a very good movie. The director's first name is Nimrod, so that's something. It's got an accent over the O, so it's probably Nimrod, but still, that's something. But yeah, I think, you know, let's not look to that as inspiration, shall we say. I think we would need to do it better than that.
I think there are a couple of other lines to follow, and I'm going to rebut the conclusion that we just can't do something this macho. I think it needs to be tempered with a few things, but I took a couple of lines and overthought this, as I often do, by formulating a bogus mathematical theorem, which is M sub A equals function of M sub N, C S squared over the absolute value of S sub A.
Can't wait.
So this is the macho-ness of a film is a function of a number of men displaying confidence in their strength and skill. That's the first part of it.
Okay.
Which brings me to another sci-fi military action film that was released just the year before Predator, 1986's Aliens, which in its formula is ridiculously similar to Predator.
Yeah.
You have a group of elite soldiers that get called in on a rescue mission, and you know, they go in and they get their asses kicked, and they end up with with just the one person against the alien. There is one key difference that I noticed that I think would turn Predator into a very, very much less macho feeling movie, and that Predator has a scene where the soldiers get to go in and completely own a set of adversaries.
Yeah, that's true.
Aliens doesn't have that. They explore a facility for a little bit, and they execute some military patterns. But in their first contact with the enemy, they just don't stand a chance. They don't get that opportunity to show off any strength and skill. And I think removing that scene where they from Predator, where they raid that guerrilla village, I think it would make it feel a lot different. Just a bogus theory once again. Second part of it is absolute value of S sub A. Self-awareness. Which brings me to the Evil Dead franchise. Because I can't think of a cockier character, especially a lead character, than Ash Williams. And as the franchise has gone on, he's gotten worse. Like, the first Evil Dead movie, he wasn't nearly as Bruce Campbell as he ends up being. And even Evil Dead 2, he's not really the cocky guy. He's just it's just kind of slapsticky. It's, you know, then you get to Army of Darkness. Okay, now he's cocky. He says, "Hail to the King, baby." You know, stuff like that. And with Ash versus Evil Dead, the Starz series, he is just awful. He is a terrible human. And the only thing that makes him worth heading up the charge against the Deadites is that he is just magical when it comes to killing them. So the thing that makes his macho-ness palatable is the self-awareness. That it just turns him into a joke. And while I don't think that that a Predator remake needs to be slapsticky, I think you could I think you could go the route of Deadpool, which has two great movies, and you know the character of Deadpool is very cocky, and that at least the first movie, I haven't seen the second one, but at least the first movie I wouldn't say feels macho. There is the obvious difference between these things that I've referenced, everything that I've referenced, and Predator, in that there are a lot of women that get to that get to show off strength and skill as well, you know, especially Ellen Ripley in Aliens. I think that either making the film much more self-aware about the beefcakiness, or making it much more serious just about the plot, is going to go a really long way towards tempering all the all that glistening man meat and, you know, making it not so terrible.
When I was watching this with Andy a couple weeks ago when we were tweeting it, I didn't realize or I didn't remember how many stupid one-off or whatever they call those, the one-liners that come in action movies when you kill somebody or whatever. Yeah. I didn't realize how many of those were in this movie and how dopey that, like, I laughed more in this movie than I expected to when I rewatched it. Like when Arnold Schwarzenegger threw the knife at the guy and
stick around.
Like, that's just dumb. It's just so dumb. And why is it there? Like,
there's no need for that.
It changes everything about the movie when you start doing that stuff. And it was like they were trying to make a serious action movie, but they forgot that they were in the 1980s and
that wasn't allowed.
It just leaked out of them as they were writing it. Like, oh, you know what we should do? Throw a knife at the guy and then stick around. Like, it's just,
you're not wrong.
It's just so dumb. It's just so dumb.
No, you're right. I think that like my remake of this would be, I noted there were two things, but yeah, if I were to rewatch it again, I would probably have two dozen things that I would change little here, right?
All caps, more death puns.
Yes, exactly. Death phrases. Yeah. So we have talked about it a little bit, but this is a pretty darn violent movie. And I think it's pretty great in that regard because I love a good violent horror movie. Do you think this would be R today if it came out, this exact same movie came out today? Do you think it would be R? I mean, it feels pretty darn R to me.
I would think so. I mean, there's gun violence is everywhere, but I mean, there's also just so much gore.
Yeah.
It's showing completely skinned bodies.
Yeah.
And if not explicitly showing, but pretty close to that, showing, you know, the people's spines getting ripped out. I mean, it's pretty visceral.
Yeah. That's a good word for it. Visceral is a great word for it.
Literal viscera.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
Did anyone else get a Mortal Kombat vibe with that scene, by the way?
that's a good call.
Just need to get over here and then
finish him.
That's a good call. I seen a lot of horror in my young days as a movie watcher, but like the scene where Jesse Ventura gets basically like blown apart from the back, that affected me. Like, that freaked me out. I had never seen anything like that. And that was like, it's gory, but it's not ridiculous gory, but it's mostly just kind of the after effect of what happened to him. Like, that, man, that was something else. And then the one that I noted in my notes was, the Max leg when he gets shot and his leg is sitting there like twitching afterwards. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. That is nasty. Like, that is, and like, I'm sure very real and all it's whatever, but man, it's just like, oh, that's gnarly. That's real gnarly.
It was in looking back, as I said in the first episode, like, this was the movie that I kind of, it was the first movie I saw that I realized I wasn't old enough to watch.
Yeah.
It was Max's death that really stuck with me when I saw it again now. The last time I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's right, where the three red dots go up on his head and then it shoots and you just see from the back like his head explode.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
Yeah, they just threw a bucket of blood on the camera, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they ruined it by the next shot showing his head there in like just a dead body, like, yeah. no wound at all. I'm like, oh.
Where's the continuity, guys?
Right.
I feel like the violence, though, in 80s movies went a lot farther than it does now. I almost feel like this movie would be very, it's a hard R, but I think it would be really close to an NC-17 with the amount of violence. I think violent movies today, it's just a feeling that I get that they just don't take it quite as far now as they used to. Like, maybe the MPAA is a lot more strict about it. And the 80s was kind of like, I mean, that was the decade of excess. So I think that leaked into a lot of the concepts in filmmaking, whether it's like just the money that they would put into it or in the storytelling itself, they would just try to make the movie a lot more sensational by putting more violence in it or those really awful one-liners, of course. But yeah, I almost think that, like, when I think of movies, violent movies in the 80s that I'm really, really familiar with, I feel like they're a lot gorier. They were a lot gorier then than they are now. But that's just a sense that I get.
Yeah, I feel like it's practical effects more than anything. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you knew that there was something real happening on screen, whereas now that is not really a guarantee. You know, there's digital blood, there is CG. Yeah. I mean, like, it right now when I see something, I don't feel that same visceral feel, like Mark said, of knowing that even if it's not happening to that actor, like, there was some sort of prosthetic, some sort of physical, tangible thing happening right there. And I think that's gotten lost a little bit with modern kind of horror gore filmmaking.
And that's what I was going to say too, that I think a lot of it is that. And I don't know, I guess I wouldn't say, like, to me, watching this felt very similar to watching an episode of Game of Thrones as far as violence. And you look at some of the things, like a series like that or Spartacus or some of these other HBO and Showtime series do, like, it's gross. You know, cutting people's necks and you know, squeezing their heads till their eyes pop out and stuff, like, they do some really gross stuff, but it's all, like, it doesn't have that same visceral textured feel that 80s special effects have.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element as well, just 80s over the topness. And Lee mentioned it in respect to a few other things, but they, you know, in the 80s, it's just so much, oh yeah, of course he can make a bow and arrow that can shoot through a goddamn tree. And oh my God. You know, yeah, of course.
So dumb.
Definitely in the 90s, but much more so continuing after. There's just been a great trend towards realism that you can do some awful violence to a person, but, you know, not with, like, a simple gunshot. So I think that there could be a lot of violence, a lot of gore, and it could be really gross too, but it wouldn't be so spectacular.
Have you guys ever seen the, they released it on YouTube, but the movie Kung Fury? Have you watched that?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yes. It's ridiculous in every way. Yeah. It kind of, like, that I think is, take that style and move it into the ridiculous, and it makes it amazing because of that. That went on about 10 minutes too long, but it was pretty
great.
Was it
the only for like 25 minutes?
It's like 31 minutes. Yeah. But still, it was at least 10, maybe 15 minutes too long. But yeah, it was pretty great for that same reason, as far as, like, taking it and just going kind of in an homage to that style, going above and beyond with regards to violence. So we'll link to that in the show notes. It's something else.
Is that the one where he made nunchucks out of, like, woodchucks or gerbils or something?
No, that yes. that was a Kung Fu Enter the Fist. That was, Kung Fury is the one, I think it's a Norwegian guy.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah, did it, like, all green screened, and it's just an homage to the 80s.
Yeah.
Also, super macho, but it works because self-awareness.
Yes, math. Man, good work, mathematician. Mathemagician. So before we close up here, we want to talk just a little bit about some things that we were just kind of curious about. First of which was, who would play the Predator today, or what would play the Predator today? Do we do guy in suit? Do we do mocap, stunt person? And then after that, we have to touch on something that is near and dear to us. So, but let's start with, who would play the Predator today, or what would the Predator look like? Did you guys have anything in mind? Anybody that has an idea on that?
As long as it's not Andy Serkis in a motion capture suit, I'm okay.
You feel like he needs to give someone else a chance in the mocap suit?
I am over it. Yep.
Interesting.
No, I'd love to see Doug Jones, maybe.
Oh yeah.
Maybe. although I don't know that he's not a super mobile guy. But man, would he be intimidating in the right prosthetics and, you know, outfit and stuff.
Doug Jones?
Yeah, Doug Jones.
I think he's quite mobile.
Is he?
It's one of the things that's made him so versatile as an alien actor is his
okay
wiggliness.
Well, then then perfect, do it. And I definitely don't want to get rid of the mandibled face, because, God, that's so good.
I think the mandible face needs to stick around, but I think we need to do something else with the rest of them.
Instead of being so, like, tall and, you know, bulky, you know, you can tell that the stuntman or whoever, like, it was a challenge to move around and all that.
Yeah, he seemed very much like he's walking around in snow boots.
Yeah, it might be cool to just have someone who's a little, like, less of that suit and more of the actual person, you know, so they can move around better and they have better mobility, I guess. And I don't know, that might be just, you know, a skinnier predator, but they're faster and they can move better.
I would like something to see like a predator that isn't necessarily bipedal. Like,
yeah.
Why does some alien being that's coming to Earth anyway have to look anything like any of us?
See Star Wars.
I mean, I'm just saying, it could be some sentient ooze that happens to shoot a 3 laser triangle at you.
I think if you can make that happen without getting the uncanny valley's, like, obviously CG thing going on, then I would be about that. So finding that balance of practical versus effective computer.
Yeah, work. I agree. Yeah. That's the real trick, is making it seem real. But, like, having something, you know, for me personally, if it, like, moved like a spider, it would creep the hell out of me. Or like a centipede.
Yeah.
I think we definitely need to make sure that the creature seems sentient, though. It's not just an animal that kills because it's hungry. But I, too, would like to see it a little bit more abstracted from human. It makes me want to go with mocap so that we could, you know, make it look however we want and still get an actor's performance out of it.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the challenges that you always see in movies like this, like in Star Wars, there's aliens everywhere and everything's green screened and whatnot, but it all sort of fits together really well. But you put an alien or a motion capture or a green screen or something in our real world and they always seem out of place, like that uncanny valley. Like, it never quite vibes. So figuring out that challenge, I think, would be the key to unlocking a creepy predator. And Alien did a great job of it. Like, the original Alien nailed it. Like, they figured out what they were doing, and whether it's the, you know, filming into the shadows or the different angles that they chose or whatever, but that was perfect. So I'd love to see something like that. Maybe Ray Park should do it.
Ooh, interesting.
Maybe get Ray Park and Andy Serkis to do like one of those suits where, like, one of them's the back half of the horse and the other one's the front half of the horse. Yes. But not a horse.
Keep talking.
Maybe a horse, but with a bow staff?
Alien horse.
With a bow staff?
With a space horse with a bow staff. Boom! Call Hollywood, we got it.
Joe Hollywood, you listening?
I like it. So as foreshadowed briefly before, there was someone who was the Predator before the Predator as we know it was the Predator as we know it. And that person was none other than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think it's pronounced Van Damme.
Van Damme? Did I not speak that correctly?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's correct.
That's better.
Famdango. So he was, Jean-Claude Van Damme, very early on in his career was cast as the Predator. They wanted somebody who was kind of martial artsy, which sounds very familiar, right? He wanted someone who was, you know, fighting trained. And we'll put some links in the show notes about kind of what came of this, but it was a comedy. It was not a comedy of errors, but it was, you know, what could have been.
No, it was that.
Okay, it was a comedy of errors, but it was not. Well, it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was a comedy bears. Okay, fair enough. But it was insane. And the kind of retelling of that story is something else. So there is some footage in there. I would highly, highly recommend that you watch that so you can see Jean-Claude Van Damme as this weird alien thing that, well, never really came to be. And then for good reason, we see why it never came to be, because, boy, it was ridiculous. I would definitely recommend checking that out.
Does it exist, the actual, like, sketches of what his alien suit was eventually going to look like. Because, man, I want to see what they are going for. Because
yeah, there's a little bit of that.
The green screen suit looks so dumb.
Yeah, well, there was going to be a little bit of that, but it was going to be like insect legs, where instead of the knees going forward, they went backwards. Like, that was a part of it, but they couldn't figure out how to do that without using stilts. And even then, it looked really weird. So there was a little bit of that, yeah. But yeah, if this sounds ridiculous, it was. You should definitely check it out.
Because based on his green suit and like the thing sticking out above his head, every time I watch it, all I see is Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, it's very much so. like Jar Jar Binks, but more bug-like, basically. Yeah, it's nuts. Agreed. So the last thing we want to talk about is it was 1987, and in spite of what this movie told us, there were women in the world, in fact, quite a few of them, who knew, right? That was not a time that was the golden era for women in film, but especially women in action movies. And we said that we can do better, and I think we did an okay job of that. You know, I honestly say that I did not do a very good job of that. I kind of went on the gender lines, but I think we did a pretty good job. Any other thoughts about how we could do that better other than, you know, this is such a limited cast that without going the route of kind of casting everyone as female, you know, it's not a huge amount of change that we can do. But I think that just acknowledging that women are badass and can be just as badass as men. I mean, looking at Gwendolyn Christie, looking at others that we cast, I mean, there's some serious talent in there and some serious ass kicking. So, yeah. What else do you guys think about that?
I think we have done quite a bit better and just including a lot more women in action-y roles. I mean, there's still the debate about whether or not you try to take a female character and make her respectable as an action star just by presenting her as a man. Well, I mean, not literally, but with masculine manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough to do, and nobody has the answer, I feel. But you have to admit that there are a lot more people trying, for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
When I was researching my picks a little bit and thinking and had gotten to Gwendolyn Christie, it made me wonder if there were actually women in Special Forces. So I did a little digging, and it turns out there are not. And as of just a couple of months ago, the first woman ever has actually made it through one particular portion of the Special Forces training. So she has gotten as far as any woman has ever gotten through the training. So she isn't officially in Special Forces yet, but she is farther into that process than any woman has gotten to this point, which is pretty cool. But it's yeah, it's interesting to think about, you know, casting women in a movie like this where you need these super soldiers, and it's much different than casting women as, you know, Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones, where it's this fantasy world and you know, any the training and what makes a warrior is different. So I almost didn't cast her. Or I almost didn't pick her after I saw that. I'm like, oh, that wouldn't, quote unquote, be real. But it would, and it would be just as legitimate. Well, it'd be drastically more legitimate than Arnold Schwarzenegger in Special Forces training, or Carl Weathers, for that matter. So, it was just an interesting little rabbit hole that I dove down as I was looking at picks and stuff.
Yeah, I think representation can be aspirational as much as it is realistic. So I think that's a great way to look at it. All right, cool. Well, that wraps up this second half of our discussion of Predator. We are very thankful for you listening, so thanks for doing that. And gentlemen, thank you as always for hanging out. Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all of the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We're on both Facebook, search for Math is Hardnet or Remakers Mark, and Twitter at Remakers Mark, so please join the discussion there too. So, gents, I have to say it's really, really good to be back. I really love this discussion, and I can't think of a better movie to do it with and a better crew than you. It's too bad that we all have to die in Predator 3, the Predator Boogaloo.
By the way, Expendables 4 is coming out in 2020.
Good to know. I look forward to acting in that very soon. So until the next time, gentlemen, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Can you guys hang on for just 1 second? There's just walking around upstairs, and Kate just hasn't told me that it's her yet. So I'm just going to make sure I'm not getting broken into. Cool. I'll be back in like 30
this
seconds.
This should be fun
okay?
to listen to.
I'm 99% sure where I'm not, but I'm just going to double check. Be right back.
If we hear Kyle getting murdered, I don't think I can podcast with you guys anymore.
Nope. That's the end of the podcast.
No, we'd be fine.